And it's quite an interesting theme to think about, the spirit of belonging, this month in our theme on discipleship, the spirit of belonging, because people have a real need and desire to belong. We're about to actually, Chris, myself, and others of the leaders and other people, put together a little booklet on what it means to belong. And as you hear this passage, let these amazing words of Paul start to trigger off all sorts of thoughts about that. So, Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set us free. Some people translate it me. Many of the versions are us. Has set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law, that's the Jewish law, could not do because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own son, who came with a nature like sinful human nature, to do away with sin. God did this so that the righteous demands of the law might be fully satisfied in us, who live according to the Spirit and not according to human nature. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And so people become enemies of God when they're controlled by their human nature. For they do not obey God's law, and in fact, they cannot obey it. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. But you do not live as your human nature tells you to. Instead, you live as the Spirit tells you to, if in fact God's Spirit lives in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ lives in you, the Spirit is life for you, because you have been put right with God, even though your bodies are going to die because of sin. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, then he who raised Christ from death will also give life to your mortal bodies by the presence of his Spirit in you. So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit's power we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's sufferings, we will also share his glory. And Jim will put the PowerPoint up and you can just sort of follow as we go through. As I say, in our thinking about the steps of following Jesus, this month we're thinking about being called to live in the Holy Spirit. And every time I say the Spirit, it's shorthand really for the Spirit. And we're thinking today about belonging. And I believe it is the Holy Spirit who actually causes us to know what it means to really belong. And I think human beings are looking for that experience of belonging. They are desperate for it, even if they grow up in the most loving and caring families. They are looking for that experience. Sifa, do your kids want to go out to the groups? They don't. Well, they're going to really miss out. That's a real pity, because I'm afraid this will go right over their heads. Justin, do you want to run through to the hall? The guys are in there. Okay, that's brilliant. There is so much to say about the experience of belonging. And this unashamedly is talking about experience, which involves both knowing and feeling as well. There's so much to recommend to those who don't yet follow Jesus about the experience of belonging, those people that are seeking for meaning. There's so much to share that it's difficult to fit it into one talk. Since the New Testament follows on from the Old in declaring that our true identity, our true sense of belonging and being at home in ourselves comes from the revelation and discovery of God. If people are concerned about belonging, then we can talk to them about how discovering God will give that sense of belonging. Some people who have never felt at home or at ease in different groups, and they always say they feel excluded or on the edge, or they never really feel totally at home. And the Bible actually looks at that as a theme. Jesus, starting with him, knew what his identity was, and he had a sense of belonging. In a way, that's stating the obvious. But we can see so clearly at his baptism how his identity and his sense of belonging was affirmed by God at his baptism. Just listen to this. Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth to the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. This is what Jesus heard. "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." And at once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. This is an important experience for Jesus. This is incredibly significant for him as a person in his humanity, that his identity was affirmed to him, not just a human being, but for him as Son of God, as Son of God. Where and when did Jesus gain his identity, his sense of purpose, his sense of belonging? Because he was born as a human being, even though he was God's son. We can speculate. His mother would have shared with him, wouldn't she, the things that happened, the strange and magnificent things that happened around his birth. He would have begun to grow in his consciousness and sense of identity as he talked with leaders in the temple and in the synagogue. But also, I suggest that it was at his baptism that his consciousness of sonship, that he was Son of God, came to him. That his consciousness of the Spirit upon his life was profound. So he knew that he was Son of God. He knew that he had the Spirit. And we see from the Gospels that he's convinced of his anointing. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he says. He has absolute conviction of that. Don't you long to also know that the Spirit is upon you, but also what your purpose is? Many of you know that, and that gives you that sense of belonging. He knew, he had conviction that the kingdom of God was brought in by himself. He says, "The kingdom of God is here. See the things that are happening." And indeed, he goes into the wilderness, taken by the Spirit, to wrestle actually with what it meant to belong and who he was and what he had come to do. And he struggled with that and came out sure of that. He knew that in Psalm 2, the psalmist had spoken about anointing a son. Later in Hebrews, that scripture is referred to Jesus. This sense of sonship was unique to Jesus, sonship with a capital S. In one sense, we can never be Jesus, but we can be sons and daughters of God. That is something that we have in common with Jesus. We are not divine, but we are heirs with Jesus, says Paul in this passage. We will share that inheritance because we are sons of God. It's used generically. It's referring to all who believe, men and women, because men and women inherit equally in the kingdom of God. It's not like the throne in England. We inherit equally. We inherit equally as sons of God. In this passage that was read to us, I think there's so much in it about belonging to God and belonging to one another in the church. It actually starts off with the statement, there's no condemnation. Now, of course, that means there's no punishment. There's no guilt anymore because Jesus has taken all that away. God is not going to punish. But with that statement is, there's only belonging. We focus in on the no condemnation, but there's an incredible positive statement that follows on. We are in Jesus Christ. We belong. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We belong. We have identity as children of God. There's no condemnation because we are in Jesus Christ. We belong. And there's a sense of ownership. We belong to God. He has redeemed us. But also we begin to discover our identity and purpose for which we created, to know God and to live for others. Isn't that what it's about? It's not just about me. I find my identity, but it is about knowing God and living for others. Paul, in detail that I can't look at today, talks about the difference it makes not to live under the law with our old nature controlling us, but to live with our mind and actions controlled by the Spirit. And his whole argument is based on the fact that because we belong to Jesus, belong to Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of God because we belong to Christ. Do not say to me, I believe in Jesus, but do I have the Spirit? You have the Spirit. You cannot belong to Jesus without the Spirit. Tell me you want to know more of the work of the Holy Spirit, and I will say amen, always. Verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Verse 14, those led by the Spirit are sons of God, both men and women. Verses 15 and 16, Father, Abba, Father, that's our inner testimony. We are children of God. Our sense of belonging may be weak. The Lord may want to affirm it more. It may need to grow stronger in us because we have so much self-doubt. But we do belong to God. And our real sense of identity comes from this. Our real sense of security comes from this. If we lose our jobs, our security still comes from belonging to Christ. We become ill, our security still comes from belonging to Jesus. If our friends forsake us or hurt us, our identity and security still comes from belonging to Jesus. If everything is removed from us, which it has been from some believers and is removed from them even today, then our sense of belonging and identity comes from Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. We are to accept one another because others also have the Spirit. And we become part of this group of people, this community of believers. We're all sons of God. We inherit together. Life in the Spirit means belonging to the church, the community of the Spirit. I love the different descriptions that are given about church. Church is a great description, ecclesia, gathering. There's so many wonderful descriptions, body working together. The community of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wonderful name, isn't it? That church, a community of the Spirit. We've already seen when we looked at Nicodemus that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us spiritual birth, regeneration, new life, makes us a part of the church. It's not something just that we do. It's something we have to ask God to do for us. We see that Jesus taught his disciples that they needed to become a community, and a community of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's all sorts of communities, aren't there, in the world? If you go to work, you may have the privilege of being part of a community there. It may be a good or a bad community, I don't know. But it's actually a community, or it should be. If you're parents, you may belong to a group of parents, perhaps a parents' association, there's a community there. You might like riding motorbikes, and you're part of a community, a fellowship of people who ride motorbikes. If you're part of AA, you talk about the fellowship, because there's something that those people share in common. They're all communities, they're all fellowships in the widest sense of the word. But there's a distinctive about being part of a church, because that is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, a community of the Holy Spirit. It's people with very diverse interests, very diverse backgrounds, and all sorts of different gifts. But we are a community because we each have the Holy Spirit. Now, we can function as a community well, or we can function badly. We can always be improving, but by nature, we are a community because we have the Spirit. That's an amazing thought, that the distinctive is that the Spirit is there, and so we expect to see the fruit of the Spirit. We expect to see love being operated. We expect to see peace, forgiveness, making up being operated there. We expect to see gentleness. We expect to see truth speaking. We expect to see the fruit of the Spirit. And we expect to see the gifts, the charisma of God being used all the time in the church. They're signs of grace that come from the Spirit. And we share the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, these things, in some ways, have to become an experience to you. At the moment, they're just facts I'm stating, aren't they? They're just facts. They're truths out of the Bible. But it is the experience of the Holy Spirit in community that is the wonderful thing that causes us to praise God. When we shared together at the beginning the things we wanted to thank God together, it's the experience of the Spirit that, in a sense, yes, the Spirit is at work and we can share this together. Experiencing the Spirit together, day by day, week by week, is so important. Evidence that God is at work. This shared experience. Jesus demonstrated it, and Paul and others developed it in their teaching. The shared experience of the Spirit. You know, it's rarer in the New Testament to talk about individual experiences of the Spirit than it is to talk about together experiences of we and us. And sometimes we can become so obsessed with our own experience that we're not talking about our together experience, the fellowship of the Spirit. The fact that we can worship together or pray together, that in our homes we can share and pray. That we can confess our weaknesses and our need of help together with fellow believers. In spite of struggle with old nature, I put there, it is wonderful to be part of a living, loving community of God's people. But we're still struggling with our old nature. And Paul writes about this, doesn't he? He doesn't say it's perfection. He doesn't say it's heaven on earth. He says unity is something we work at. The fellowship of the Spirit is something we have to work at. So just slip that in case you think, well, this is a bit idyllic. Paul is saying it is wonderful, but the reality is there's still a struggle between my old nature and how the Spirit wants me to live. But there is a fellowship in the Spirit. There is a community of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something, again a useful little Greek point, that fellowship of the Spirit can also be translated participation in the Spirit. And one of the things we've been working at in the church over the last few years is greater participation in every way. The leadership of all our groups, participation in worship. We're trying to encourage people to participate, not just to be passive, not to see ministry as something that comes from the front, but as something that we're all engaged with. Participation in the Spirit. So those verses in Corinthians and Philippians where it says fellowship of the Spirit means we participate in the Spirit. There is one body and one Spirit, Paul wrote. There's one body and one Spirit. Unity is something that we work at because we are a community who share the Spirit. Indeed, when we became Christians, we were baptized by the Spirit into the body. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the Holy Spirit takes us and makes us part of the body. Now then we act that out in our baptism, but it's something the Holy Spirit has actually done. He's made us part of the body. The gifts of the Spirit are terribly important, though, because the gifts of the Spirit sustain and build up the community of the church. And the gifts of the Spirit are to be used every single day of our lives. The gifts of the Spirit. We are, in fact, a charismatic community. Somebody says to me, "Are you a charismatic church?" I say, "Yes, of course we are." You can't be a church without being charismatic. The church utterly relies on the gifts of its members, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't be a church without being a charismatic church. You can if you put, I know what people are saying to me, you know, are people allowed to speak in tongues and interpret it, prophesy in your church? Yeah. But you're also allowed to show hospitality and love. Of course we're a charismatic church. Do I want all the gifts of the Spirit? Yes, please. As God gives them in the right place and the right time for the building up of everyone. Absolutely. We are reliant absolutely on the grace of God to manifest his love in our midst. Not just on Sunday service, but at meeting point. Do you know, it's so easy to be loving and patient on Sunday compared to at meeting point. It's so easy to be loving and caring on Sunday and then go home as a parent and your children, you just want to tear your hair out. You'd have to wear a wig forever, wouldn't you? You know, the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic nature of the Spirit, need to be operated every single day of the week. And in some ways, Sunday is a bit of a showpiece, isn't it? But, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic nature of our community, are to be seen throughout the week, every single day of the week. Paul prayed in tongues lots more at home, didn't he? He said that, you know, "I'm praying in tongues all the time at home, and I'd be much happier if, you know, somebody spoke intelligibly in church or prophesied, but I, you know, I speak in tongues all the time at home." And as far as we know, he didn't even have kids. But, you know, praying all the time. We need to be this charismatic community of God's people. And our membership of this church, all of us, is to be charismatic membership. We're not just individuals who belong to Christ, but we're individuals through whom the Spirit of grace will manifest himself in many ways. So we are to be charismatic in our membership, not static. We come to show the gifts of God, to demonstrate those, to share those with one another. Hospitality. We're to be charismatic and go out of our way to show hospitality. Love and prayer in the Spirit. We are to be charismatic in our membership of the church. We are all members. We are all part of the body of Christ. In our teaching, our encouraging, in our seeing of healing, we are to be charismatic as a church. They are manifestations of God's grace, and if we have the Spirit, we will expect to see the Holy Spirit manifesting those if we cooperate. No member, no part of the body should refuse to join in. If they do, if people aren't willing to use their gifts through the church, then they could be seen in Paul's terms as quenching the Spirit. That willingness. And if we feel we haven't got an opportunity, come and tell Georgina or I. Come and tell the deacons, "I have these gifts, I want to use them." And I can guarantee, if you really have got those gifts, you will find an opportunity. But you may have gifts you don't even know you've got. But as we've monitored how people are being used, and I can tell you this because I've been here over 23 years, there are more people participating now in using their gifts than there have ever been. That is a fact. I can only go back 23 and a half years, but I can tell you there are. And I can tell you that with prayer there will be even more in the future. Don't hold back. Step up, each one of you, to the plate. This morning I had an image as I was praying. You know, sometimes the images flash into your mind and you think it's God saying something. And I had an image of a box with a like a husband's staple and a lock on it. I just felt that God was saying there are people coming today that need to know they've got treasure boxes in their lives. And they've padlocked the treasure boxes. And they're keeping those treasures, they think, for God, but they're not for God, they're to be used now. And if you have gifts and skills, unlock the box. Don't keep them for some day in the future. Don't keep them for God. God has given them to you. And I'm praying, and we prayed, that the locks would come off and the boxes would disappear and people will use the treasures, the gifts, the charismas they have in all sorts of ways, in worship, in mission, in outreach, in different projects. That actually you need to stop hoarding those gifts. You need to use those gifts. And we need the gifts. The church needs the gifts that you have because that's how God has designed it. He's dispersed the gifts out. Jesus ascended to fill the whole universe with his presence, and he threw out the gifts to all of humanity. And as Christians, we have a lot of those gifts. We don't have the monopoly, but we have certain gifts only we can have because we have the Spirit. So unlock the box, take the box apart, and use the things you are treasuring up, your most precious things. Use them. They are not yours. They have been given to you for the church and for bringing in the kingdom of God. Okay? I'm absolutely clear that God is saying that to us, but you must weigh that and see if God is saying that to you. We are all to worship in the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Unlock the box. Get rid of the box. Use those precious things. You might not think they're very important. Who are you to despise the gifts God has given you? Use the gifts you have. Please. If I can be polite, please. God can command, I can just ask. Please use them. Belonging means interdependence. You know the difference, don't you? There's independence where you do it on your own. There's interdependence where we're woven together with one another. And belonging means interdependence. Not just that we're part of the human race, which we are, but that we're part of this community of God's people. Because of our upbringing, many of us struggle with this. In fact, I put down that I think we all struggle with this. But some find it very difficult to be transparent with others. Well, start with a few. I'm not asking you to stand up in front of the whole church and make your confession or bear your soul to the whole church, but start with being transparent with some. So many people have secret things in their lives that if they shared them, they could pray and they could pray through to an answer. I know sometimes people let you down and they pass on what you said, but you sometimes have to take risks. Interdependence. Some people won't be transparent. Some of us find it difficult not to dominate in interdependence. And some sit back and just watch from the benches. And none of those is what Paul is saying or Jesus is teaching. Interdependence is part of belonging. Gifts are given to individuals not just for us, not to show off with, not just to be fulfilled. There's no place also for false modesty. They're given for the body and for God's purposes. Together, we exercise priesthood and pastoral care of the body. Together, we carry out the mission to bring in the kingdom of God. We're not looking to be a self-sealed unit. We're looking to be a growing community. And those who have the Spirit will always be looking for others to join. They will always be saddened if some detach themselves. A Christian detached from the body by either leaving it or by being there but not participating in the fellowship of the Spirit is an amputation. Tonight we will celebrate that God through Christ has drawn together various body parts to make one body. He's drawn together this local church to make it a church. So living in the Spirit does mean being active in the body. We have some groups that people say, I can't physically do something, but I can pray. We have a pastoral care team in the church, as well as the deacons. There are various others that are involved in visiting and phoning and chatting to people. They're just ordinary people in the church who can keep their eyes open and try and encourage. But some people are part of that team, not because they can visit, but because they can pray and make phone calls or send text. We're actually, from the Communion Fund, giving various people some money so they can make phone calls and text to others, so that they are really taking part in that care. They may not be able to leave their home to visit others, but they can phone or text others. They're participating. They're giving their gifts of being able to pray. As we learn to participate together as God has blessed us, then that sense, that experience of belonging grows and grows. It's not just a fact. We say, yes, I do belong. And you know, then we start to hear not the hiss, but the voice of the Spirit. I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit. And the other voice gets a bit quieter. We hear the voice less and less. You don't really belong. They like others more than you. They don't need you. You don't really belong. You don't need those others. Hiss, hiss, hiss. The experience of participating in that fellowship of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. Our understanding begins to grow of why God designed it this way. In Romans 8, we hear Paul's confidence. There's no condemnation. I belong to God because I am in Christ. I have the Spirit, and my Spirit witnesses inside. I am a child of God. We are children of God. We, the church, belong together and work together. We are the community of the Holy Spirit. It's a struggle, but we have the Spirit. I will listen to the Spirit and to truth. We all seek for that true belonging, and it is found by knowing God in Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Spirit. And we share that together, don't we, Rosemary? I can look at all of you. We share that together. We are part of that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We belong. We work at it. You too can belong, because that's why Jesus came, so that we all belong to God and to one another. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to pray that you'll lead us in worship and response and prayer. Lord, we pray for that now in Jesus' name. Lord, move by your Spirit to affirm the truth within us. And we pray that that sense of identity and belonging will grow strong, and your voice affirming, you are my child, and that witness of the Spirit may go stronger and stronger, so that we may be of use to you and one another. In Jesus' name, amen.